The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah, Holy Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله Viewers of Madri Channel, welcome to this series of programs Yesterday, Today, and tomorrow. And in these series of programs, we learn our lessons from the past. We talk about our pious predecessors. We learn from them examples. And we try and learn something from this so that we can make a change today and we can have a better tomorrow as well. But before we begin the topic of the day, inshallah, like every day, inshallah, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's narrated that the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, There will be no shade on the Day of Judgment except for the throne of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Three persons will remain beneath the shade of the divine throne. And it was humbly asked, Ya Rasulullah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who will these people be? And the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied, Number one is the one who relieves the distress of my ummati. Number two is the one who revives my sunnah. And number three is he who spends his time in reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Reason of the channel, from this we can see that on the Day of Judgment, when there will be no shade for anybody, the only people that will be given shade on that day are three types of people. Number one is he who removes a worry from an ummati, from a fellow Muslim. Number two is he who revives a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And number three is he who sends through the park upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So please make an attention to make it part of your daily routine that you become habitual in reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we said before, viewers of the channel, who knows that one extra Durood-e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam al-Sunnat, Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullah ta'ala, he passed away on the 25th of Safar. And during this month, we remember his life, his activities, his contribution towards the deen, and his legacy that he left behind. And just a brief introduction with regards to him is that he was birth name was Muhammad and his mother would call him Amman Mia out of love. And his father and other relatives would call him Ahmad Mia. And it was his grandfather that named him Ahmad Raza. And his historical name is Al-Mukhtar, whereas his kunyat is Abu Muhammad. And Ala Hazrat would himself write Abdul Mustafa before his name. At one place, he would write that as part of his name and whenever he would write in things. So this is a little bit of an introduction of who this person is. And like I said before, he wasn't 1,000 years ago, 1,200 years ago, 102 years ago he passed away. So it's in our relatively recent history that he was amongst us. And so we need to learn from his life and learn from his teachings. And in past episodes, we've talked a little bit about it, about his yearning for knowledge. But today we're going to talk another aspect about his life. We're going to talk about his passion for worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla. How he lived his life. Because what happens is as people get busier and busier, then the ibadah, the worship, gets put to the side. But Sayyidina Ala Hazrat, no matter how busy he got, his worshipping of Allah Azza wa Jalla was his priority. And it's stated, viewers of the channel, that once Khalifa of Sayyidina Ala Hazrat, Sayyid Ayub al-Razvi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he said that we were going from Bareilly to Pilibhit by train. They were making this train journey. And they stopped at a train station at Nawab Ganj station. Now, at that Nawab Ganj station, the train normally stops for a few minutes. I don't know if any of our viewers have been blessed to travel in trains in the Middle East, in Pakistan or India. What happens over there is, at some stations, they literally stop for literally 60 seconds, yeah? And it doesn't matter whether you're off the train or not, they'll blow the whistle and they'll start moving, whether you got the stuff off the train or not. At some stations, a little bit longer. Some stations, even half an hour, 45 minutes. And so, unless you know the stations, then you do not know which station to get off the train and go and buy some drinks or tea or whatever. And those people that travel a lot get to know this. Anyway, this particular station, The train only stops for 2 minutes. However, the time for Maghrib had approached. Now, when the time for Maghrib had approached, Sayyidi Ali Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he got himself ready and he instructed the people that were with him that he wanted to do Jamaat. Because one thing that Sayyidi Ali Hazrat did is, he never missed his Salah, but he also made sure that he never missed performing Salah with Jamaat as well. He would always perform his Salah with Jamaat. So on the train station, they got people ready to perform the Jamaat. And this person, Sayyid Ayub Ali Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he said that, when I joined Jamaat, I saw that the green flag was being waved. Now, the green flag, for viewers on the channel, is on these platforms on the train station, you have a person that waves the flag to say that the train is ready to go. And what happens is, as soon as the green flag's waved, as soon as the whistle's blown, the train starts moving. And what happens is, people hear the whistle, people see the flag, and they start walking toward the train. But Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he was having Jamaat here. And he just started the first rakat of the Salatul Maghrib. Now, before I continue with the story of Yusuf Manchan, we need to pause for a second and think to ourselves that, you know, what was his namaz like? What was Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala's namaz like? Was it like our namaz? I want to say when it was like our namaz, when it was like my namaz, you know, nowadays a lot of us, we read our namaz as if we are, you know, like a pecking bird. You know, we're that quick, we read our namaz so quickly that, you know, we can't even tell that people have read your namaz. You just go into a room, come out, and people say, you read your namaz? Yeah, I completed a read all my namaz. And you've read your namaz in literally a minute to 2 minutes. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, without doubt, was not like this. You know, when he said Allahu Akbar and he put his head down, you know, he was presenting himself in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. He was not listening to the whistles of the train that was going on around him. He's not listening to the hum and the sounds of people that are making all these sounds. He was performing his salat with utmost concentration, with the tranquility in the heart and the peace of the heart. Now, when this incident was recorded, what happened was, when the whistle was blown and these people were still reading the namaz, what happened was, for some reason, the train did not move. The train did not move, and they have like a guard on the platform, you know, that when they're on these train stations. They have the guards, and the guard went to the front, to the driver, and asked him, what's the problem here? Why is the train not moving? You know, I've blown the whistle, I've given you the flag, everything's ready to go, the line's clear, so move. And he said, there's a problem, the train's not moving for some reason. And it was in one recording, it said that the actual train had actually cut out and they couldn't get the train to start. Meanwhile, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat and his followers are performing Salatul Maghrib with peace and tranquility. Whereas at the front of the train, where the engine is, everyone's looking here, there, trying to understand what's happening here, there's panic going on, why is the train not starting, why is this not happening? And it stated that as soon as Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala gave the salam, then what happened was the train started to move and you could hear people saying, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Why? Because everybody realized that this was one of the saintly miracles of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala. That he, because he was reading the namaz, yeah, the train didn't move forward. And they say, viewers of Madhi Channel, that people that run after dunya, people that run after the dunya, they never get it. They never get it. And you know, when we were young in school, we were given this example. That you get a donkey, okay? You get a donkey, and what they used to do is, they used to get a long stick, and they used to put it on the top of the head of the donkey, and they would dangle a carrot. And so what would happen is, there'd be this distance between the donkey and the carrot. And what would happen is, the donkey would be going forward, trying to get the carrot. But what the donkey didn't realize is that as he was going forward, so was the stick, and so was the carrot. So every step that he took, the carrot went one step further away from him. In the same way, viewers of Muslim, that when we're running after the dunya, what happens is dunya gets further and further away from us. But those people, like Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala, who run after the akhirat, they get the akhirat, insha'Allah, but the dunya runs after them. The dunya runs after them, because this is what they have, that's the status that they have. So this is something that we need to do here as well. And the other thing, viewers of my channel, and I mentioned it a couple of days ago, that whenever these stories, these events are recorded for us, they're recorded for us for a reason. So that we can learn a lesson from them. And we can see from the life of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat that he had his priority was his Salah. He never missed his Salah. And he said that he traveled a lot. He said that he traveled a lot, but even though he traveled a lot, he never ever missed his Salah. He never missed his Salah. Even though he traveled a lot many and many times as well. And he would always offer his Salah with Jamaat, whether he was on a journey as not as well. No matter where he was, he would always offer his Salah with Jamaat. And nowadays, what happens is when we're offering our Salah, here's on my channel, if we're traveling, we start making excuses. It's raining. It's dark. It's wet. There's nowhere to read my namaz. There's nothing to do this. There's nothing to do that. And we make all sorts of excuses for not reading our namaz when we are traveling. Even though you could have the facilities very, very easy. In this country, here in the UK, the majority of people, they travel by car. They travel by car. What is the harm in having in your car a prayer mat? What is the harm in having a gallon of water in your car? So that if you are anywhere and you need to perform wuzu, you can perform wuzu. You can put your prayer mat anywhere. You can stop at a service station and you can put your prayer mat down. You can park your car in the corner of a service station, put your prayer mat down on the car park even and read your namaz. There is no excuse for not reading our namaz. But nowadays, viewers of Mujtahid, we make excuses. We make excuses for missing our namaz, let alone our jamaat. Jamaat is something that is so much more important, but let alone that we miss our namaz without any excuse. The slightest excuse. Oh, got backache. Oh, my head's hurting. Oh, my tooth's hurting. Oh, I'm in a bit of a rush. If I read my namaz, I'm going to be late for that appointment. Let you be late for that appointment. Let you miss that appointment, but don't miss your namaz. Don't miss your namaz. And there are so much blessings, viewers of my channel, if only we understand the blessings and the value, the reward you can get in reading your namaz with jamaat. And that's why you see the people of the past, viewers of my channel, the pious people of the past, they would want never miss their namaz. And that's a fact. We know that. But they would do their utmost best to also make sure that they never miss their namaz with jamaat, which again is a quality that is fading now. If we go to the masjid at Salatul Fajr, how many people are there? If you go to Salatul Fajr to the masjid, you'll find that, if that, yeah, 5 people, 6 people. And normally they're that, the elder people. You know, very, very, very rarely, no matter how small the masjid is there a second saf at Salatul Fajr. Zuhur, Alhamdulillah, Salatul Asr, Alhamdulillah, Maghrib even. And then Isha, depending on the time of the year here in the UK, if it's late, then again, very, very few people come. It's that we do not read our namaz with jamaat. And if only we realize the value of reading our namaz with jamaat. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, offering salah with jamaat is 27 times more superior than the salah offered alone. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who performs a perfect wuzu and goes to offer an obligatory salah and offers salah with jamaat, his sins will be forgiven. Allahu Akbar. And in another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah azza wa jalla is pleased with those who offer salah with jamaat. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who offers salah for 40 days with jamaat, with the first takbir, for the pleasure of Allah azza wa jalla, for him 2 freedoms will be written. One from the hellfire and the second from hypocrisy. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The people of the past, they lived their lives that they made sure that they never missed their jamaat. And that's a lesson for us viewers on the channel. So please make an intention. I pray and I hope that every one of our viewers reads our namaz 5 times a day. And if we don't, please make an intention now. Then I am going to read my namaz 5 times a day. That is a must. There's no ifs, no buts, no questions. But at the same time, make an intention. I make an intention, you make an intention, let's all make an intention. Then not only will we read our namaz 5 times a day, but inshallah azwajal, all of the brothers that are watching, we will read our namaz 5 times a day with jamaat. And why I mentioned the brothers is because jamaat is only for the brothers. The sisters will stay and read the namaz at home. For the brothers, go to the masjid 5 times a day, read your namaz with jamaat, and inshallah azwajal, will see a change. We're now going to go to the kalam of the day, inshallah azwajal. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the worship, how Sayyidi Ala Hazrat would worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, and what lessons we can learn from his life. Let's go to the kalam of the day, inshallah Azza wa Jalla. We're hoping that we'll have our guest, that's alhamdulillah, is turning into a daily guest. I think you can guess who the daily guest is, inshallah Azza wa Jalla. He's been here for the last couple of days, and I'm hoping he's going to be with us again after the break. Let's go to the kalam of the day. Sallu ala al Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
آہ
قسمت آہ قسمت آہ قسمت مجھے دنیا کے غموں نے روکا آہ قسمت مجھے دنیا کے غموں نے روکا ہائے تقدیر کے طیبہ مجھے جانے نہ دیا ہائے تقدیر کے طیبہ مجھے جانے نہ دیا پکڑے ہوئے لے جاتے جو طیبہ مجھ کو ہاتھ پکڑے ہوئے لے جاتے جو طیبہ مجھ کو ساتھ اتنا بھی تو میرے رفقا نے نہ دیا ساتھ اتنا بھی تو میرے رفقا نے نہ دیا بخت خفتا نے مجھے روز پہ جانے نہ دیا چشم و دل سینے کلیجے سے لگانے نہ دیا بخت خفتا نے مجھے روز پہ جانے نہ دیا شربت دید نے اور آگ لگا دی دل میں شربت دید نے اور آگ لگا دی دل میں تپش دل کو بڑھایا ہے بجھانے نہ دیا تپش دل کو بڑھایا ہے بجھانے نہ دیا بخت خفتا نے مجھے روز پہ جانے نہ دیا چشم و دل سینے کلیجے سے لگانے نہ دیا بخت خفتا نے مجھے روز پہ جانے نہ دیا اب کہاں جائے گا نقشہ تیرا میرے دل سے اب کہاں جائے گا نقشہ تیرا میرے دل سے تہ میں رکھا ہے اسے دل نے گمانے نہ دیا تہ میں رکھا ہے اسے دل نے گمانے نہ دیا بخت خفتا نے مجھے روز پہ جانے نہ دیا چشم و دل سینے کلیجے سے لگانے نہ دیا بخت خفتا نے مجھے روز پہ جانے نفسِ بدکار نے دل پر یہ قیامت توڑی نفسِ بدکار نے دل پر یہ قیامت توڑی عمل نے کیا بھی تو چھپانے نہ دیا عمل نیک کیا بھی تو چھپانے نہ دیا بخت خفتا نے مجھے روز پہ جانے نہ دیا چشم و دل سینے کلیجے سے لگانے نہ دیا پاگل نہ ہی تھا میرے اعمال میرے اعمال میرے اعمال کا بدلا تو جگل نہ ہی تھا میں تو جاتا مجھے سرکار نے جانے نہ دیا میں تو جاتا مجھے سرکار نے جانے نہ دیا
بخت خفتہ نے مجھے روز پہ جانے نہ دیا
چشم و دل سینے کلیجے سے لگانے چمکتی سی غزل کوئی پڑھو اے نوری اور چمکتی سی غزل کوئی پڑھو اے نوری رنگ اپنا ابھی جمنے شعرا نے نہ دیا رنگ اپنا ابھی جمنے شعرا نے نہ دیا
خفتہ نے مجھے روز پہ جانے نہ دیا
چشم و دل سینے کلیجے سے لگانے نہ دیا
خفتہ نے مجھے روز پہ جانے نہ دیا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of the channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And today we're learning a little bit about Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala and how he lived his life and how his ibadat, his worshipping of Allah Azza wa Jal was the main focal point of his life, that nothing made him, enabled him to be distracted from that purpose in life. And there's a lesson there for us, viewers of the channel, that what happens, unfortunately, our deen has become a hobby and our lives, you know, are our priority and our deens are something there that we do when we've got a bit of spare time. But if you look at the people of the past, they lived their lives. They had wives and children. They had stomachs to feed. They had houses, bodies to clothe. They had all of the things, expenses that me and you had and everything else as well. Maybe we could say nowadays because the standard of living's increased and we've got more expenses, but they had their own expenses. But the deen was their priority. Worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, fasting, praying, they made sure that they never missed that. And we learn from the examples of these pious people of the past, like Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, that even when it came to his namaz, he made sure that he made certain preparations for it. He made sure that he wore proper clothes for it. And he always made sure that he read his namaz with Jamaat. Alhamdulillah, viewers of Madri channel, we have Shabazz Madri online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Shabazz bhai, today we're talking about the worshipping or the spiritual exercises that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat did and how he lived his life on that aspect. And obviously, like you said yesterday, that, you know, we can only really scratch the surface and give a brief introduction into his life. But that's why we're discussing different aspects about it, so we can get a little bit of this and a little bit of that and understand a little bit about the life of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. And today we want to talk a little bit about how he would make his routine when it came to worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now, in the glorious Quran, it has been stated that وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ. Now, we are ibad, we are abd, we are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this verse of the Quran tells us our purpose in life is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we must understand, what does it mean by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's not always prostrating. It's not always the salah itself. It's not only the salah which is ibadah. Now Khalid bhai, Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, yes, he prayed many salah, but we don't say that he prayed oh, he spent his entire time, but he also did other things, and these other things which he did, these also constitute worship. Now, one beautiful example is during the time, I think it was the year 1339 AH, which was the last Ramadan Sharif of Ala Hazrat. And it's said that during this Ramadan Sharif, Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was ill. He was ill. And he was weak. He wasn't able to fast. It was this last month, and he wasn't able to fast. Now, a person would think, okay, so maybe he left the fast, and, you know, he paid some sort of money. If he does pass the criteria to give money, when a person's considered a Sheikh Ifani, only then can he, you know, give some sort of money if he's not able to expiate in the future, that is. Now, this is what we would imagine. He possibly gave some money and he continued. Allah has said what he had decided to do was go to another place, which was quite far. And India, mashallah, is a very, very big country. And Allah Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he decided to go to another place which is far away towards the mountains. And in those places, the hours are less. The hours of the day of fasting are less. So Allah Hazrat was thinking to himself, I'm not able to keep fast here, but I am able to keep fast there. So it is obligatory upon me. This is what he says, his own words. So it is obligatory upon me. It is necessary for me to go there and keep fast. Yeah. Now, what we must understand is there's two things in this. One is that he's saying this. This is not what we call a fatwa. It's not a verdict. But this is his own taqwa. He did consider it obligatory upon himself because of his fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the second and the more important, what we can take, the lesson we take from this, is that it wasn't necessary for Allah Hazrat to keep fast. But Allah Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah ta'ala forgive us for their sake, Allah Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he enjoyed, he himself wished to fast. And this is the lesson we should take, in that the difference between what we have nowadays and them is their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You mentioned the month of Ramadan, that a lot of people, when the month of Ramadan comes, you don't see happiness on their face. You know, whereas that, you know, you hear that from the example that you mentioned, that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ramatullah, that he, you know, it was happy, he wanted to fast. In the same way we see nowadays with Amir al-Hisnut, that when the month of Ramadan comes, how happy he is, and how sad he is when the month of Ramadan is going. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to see Amir al-Sunnah when the month of Ramadan is departing, how sad he becomes and how quiet he becomes and how upset he becomes that the month of Ramadan is departing. Whereas the rest of us, to be honest, Shabazz, by, we're thankful that the month is coming to an end because we want this hardship to finish, so to speak. But these pious people, they want the month to continue for the rest of their lives.
I was in Pakistan, not this Ramadan that passed, but the one before, and possibly the one before that too. And towards the end days, we're always wondering, you know, we're discussing this possibly a mashura meeting about Madani Channel and what we're going to do, especially for Eid. So we need to keep the people busy watching Madani Channel. Now, undoubtedly, everybody thinks, yes, we need Amir Ahli Sunnah, something got to do with Amir Ahli Sunnah on Madani Channel. But Khalid Bhai, whenever it comes to Amir Ahli Sunnah, it's always, if you wish to get something from him, get it now. You know you won't be able to get from them later.
Allah, Allah.
Meaning towards that time, we all know the state they are going to be in. So sad that they won't be able to.
Fortunate are those people that were blessed that could be in the court of Sayyidi Amir al-Sunnat and listen to his words, listen to the Madani Muzakkar. People were right about that. And you know, you brought memories back now when you were talking that. I remember that before Madani Channel, and I'm going back 2003, I sat in Itikaf in Babla Madina in Karachi. And it was a new experience for me. It was a completely new experience for me. And I remember on the last day that, you know, after Salatul Maghrib, and we didn't know whether this was the last fast or not because it was the 29th. And Amir al-Sunnat, he could not complete the dua. He started the dua, and after 5 minutes, he just could not complete the dua. He was crying so much, and he was so upset. And I think maybe somebody told him that, you know, tomorrow is Eid, and, you know, the month is gone. And he got so upset, he could not complete the dua. And yet the rest of us, you know, I'll be honest with you, Shabazz, but as soon as we were told that, oh, it's Eid tomorrow, we're all packing our bags and getting ready to leave the masjid and get to the coach station, train station, airport, whatever it was. Everyone was just running here and there, but Amir al-Sunnati, he was so sad that the month had departed. But again, that is a reflection on where we are, though, isn't it, Shabazz, by that? How much we love to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, how much love we have for ibadat, that for the majority of us, it's I would even say it's a chore in a lot of cases. Reading our namaz has become a chore. Fasting during the month has become a chore. Hajj has become farz upon us many, many years ago. We've not performed it. Zakat, we don't want to calculate it because we don't want to spend any money. And that is what our mindset has become, that we don't want to do these things.
Khalid, I just, Allahu Akbar, something to remember for the viewers of Madani Channel. This try this, really. Just give it a try. This is not going to harm you. But try to slow down a little. Try to slow down a little and try to enjoy it too.
Oh, yeah.
If you do enjoy it, and inshallah, if you do try, undoubtedly you will enjoy it. And honestly, you will enjoy it so much that you just can't wait till the next one. In terms of prayer, if that's how it is, or in terms of whatever it is, if it's reciting the Quran, if you stop and you were to actually give it your full attention and try to enjoy it, really, you will enjoy it. This is just something for all the viewers. Give this a try whilst you are praying. Try to slow down. And Khalibah, one thing is, we're living in a world where everything's fast. We've always got so many worries, but just push it to a side and just give this a try. Inshallah, you'll enjoy it.
Inshallah. Jazakallah, Shabazz bhai. May Allah Azawajal reward you, and hope to see you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah. Some beautiful words there from Shabazz Madani about our ibadat and how we need to slow down. And I think, you know, adding on to that, really, those that read the namaz, we read our namaz at home because we can get it done quicker. We don't want to go to the masjid because it's going to take 5 minutes to get there. And the Imam Sahib is going to, you know, maybe read a longer surah, or when he's doing the qiraat, it'll take a little bit longer than I would. And so we don't go to the masjid. But I think, you know, like Shabazz Bhai said, if you want that, to be able to enjoy your ibadah, to love that ibadah, then one of the ways is actually, when you are praying, pray behind the imam, go to the masjid, read with the jamaat, inshallah, azawajal. And inshallah, one, that you're reading in that congregation, you get the reward of it. But also you get that spiritual uplift as well. And you learn to love going to the masjid. You learn to love reading your namaz with jamaat, and you learn to love reading your namaz. And the same with other things, like Shabazz Bhai was saying, take time out. Allocate some time, you know, in your day. Like Shabazz Bhai said, we're very, very busy in our lifestyles, that it's like literally a rat race. We haven't got time to think, but we need to. People say to you, you know, that you need to put your mobile phone to one side, you know, and just chill for a while. In the same way, we need to put our mobile phones to one side, you know, put it on silent and read your namaz or do your talawat or whatever it is. And I think it was today someone was talking to me that they said that, you know, we're reading our namaz and the phone started ringing. And he said, I was reading my namaz and I'm thinking to myself, who could it be? I wonder if it's him. I wonder if it's him. I wonder what he wants. Maybe he wants me to do that. I've not done that. I should have done that. That, yeah, it'll probably be him. And all the way through the namaz, I was thinking about that. And he said, afterwards, I started shouting at myself that you've actually ruined your namaz by being distracted by the phone. And he said, now whenever I'm reading the namaz, I make sure I put it on silent, put it somewhere out of the way, and that way I can concentrate on my namaz. You know, the world's not going to come to an end if I don't answer that phone call. But I need to make sure that I need to make sure I read my namaz properly. Before my world comes to an end, before I pass away, I need to make sure that I correct my namaz and read it properly. We're going to take a small break, viewers on the channel. We're going to learn something new, inshallah. Let's go to the break. And when we come back, we're going to continue talking about Sayyidi Ala Hazrat and his ibadat and what lessons we can learn from that. Let's go to the break. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the society and the times we live in, with social media and people saying whatever they want, often your beliefs, your way of life, your morals, everything and the rules you live by will be challenged. And sometimes a lot of us get confused. What should be our aqeedah? What should be our fundamental beliefs in relation to Allah Azza wa Jal, in relation to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in relation to the powers of the beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in relation to the glorious Quran, in relation to the Anbiya Ikram, in relation to the brilliant companions of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba, in relation to the Ahlul Bayt of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in relation to the Awliya Allah. All these things, people often say things that confuse us. Where do we go? Who do we turn to? Who can give us the correct guidance? There is one hasti, one personality who has stood out for over 100 years who can correctly guide you. The next time you're confused about any issue, the next time you're unsure about something, the next time you don't correctly understand an Islamic concept, look for what Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman has said. Because following Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman will make sure that you reach the right conclusion, will make sure that you protect your iman, and will make sure that you live your life in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And before the break, we had Mashallah Shabazz Madani on us, and he was talking about how we need to develop a love for our ibadat. And ibadat is not just, and he was rightly said, ibadat is not just really how reading your namaz. Ibadat is so much more. It's how you live your life, reading the Quran, how you treat your family, how you treat your wife, how you treat your kids. Your whole life, in essence, is a form of ibadat if we live our life according to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's something that we need to develop in us, and having that relationship with our ibadat, that we want to perform our namaz. And fortunate are those people that, you know, as soon as they finish one namaz, they're looking forward to the others. Whereas a lot of other people, the majority of us are thinking, oh, next namaz is only 2 hours away. What am I going to get done here this time? You know, oh, I'm not going to get anything done. I've got to read my namaz again. And this is something that we need to develop inside ourselves, that, you know, this work, whatever the work is, whatever the responsibilities we have, whatever jobs we have to do, they'll get done. Everything will get done. You know, there's a saying that, you know, people are finished, but work is never finished. Your work is never finished. And we don't want to be in a state where we're running after completing our work and we don't complete our ibadat and we end up completing our life. Our life goes by and we've not, you know, been able to focus on our ibadat, not been able to pray our namaz properly, not been able to pray our namaz with full concentration, not been able to fast properly during the month of Ramadan. And you know, the pious people of the past, that after the month of Ramadan went, they would split the year, remaining year, into two. And the first half of it, they would pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Ya Allah, whatever good deeds we performed in the month of Ramadan, then Ya Allah Azza wa Jalla, we ask you to accept them. And for then the second half, they would say, Ya Allah, bless us with the month of Ramadan. Whereas the rest of us, you know, when the month of Ramadan comes, are we happy? Are we happy that the month of Ramadan comes? Or are we thinking to us, oh, only 2 months? Another month. You know, we might on social media saying, oh, Ramadan Ki Amad, we're looking forward to Ramadan, brilliant, brilliant. But deep down, you know, how many of us are really happy that the month of Ramadan comes? How many of us are really happy? And as the Ummah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we're very, very fortunate that we have these blessed times, these blessed days, these blessed moments, these blessed nights, in which we can attain so much more. You know, be it the month of Ramadan, be it the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, be it during the Itaqah, be it Laylatul Qadr, be it Shab-e Barat, be it Shab-e Miraj, all of these blessed days, the day of Jummah, all of these are blessed days that we can take advantage from and gain so much more reward. But instead of looking forward to these nights, we don't. And you know, an example I remember that was given to me once, that if you were to say to people that, you know, you come here to the masjid one night, and on that night, when you come and you bring proof of your debts, I will write you a check. And if I was to make an announcement on Madani channel now that, you know, such and such night, you know, I'll be at certain masjid, that I'll have my checkbook there, you come, show me your debts, and I will write your check. And you can come and collect the check and take it, yeah? How many people would come? You know, they would maybe not a lot of people would come because they think, oh, he's not got a lot of money. But if, you know, people became aware that I have a lot of money, that I'm a very wealthy person, they may come and I'll start writing these checks. And we would queue up and we'd probably make hours and hours and hours just to have that check written for us. But in the same way, Shab-e Barat, the night in which the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that more people are forgiven on this night than the hair on the sheep of the tribe of Bani Kalb. Yeah, it's just an example that there was a tribe that they had sheep, and they were very hairy sheep, very woolen sheep on them. And so obviously they had a lot of hair. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us an example there that more people are forgiven on that night. But how many of us stayed up on that night and worshipped Allah azza wa jalla? How many of us stayed up on that night and sought forgiveness? How many of us went to the masjid on that night and stayed there? How many of us did this? Very few of us. A month of Ramadan comes, a month of Ramadan goes, and we fail to get our sins forgiven. And this is the reality of Yuzum al-Chan, that as we are blessed amongst the Ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that these opportunities come to us, but we don't avail these opportunities. And there are so many, you know, we can talk about, you know, the blessed, we could even do a series of programs on the blessed opportunities in Islam, and there are so many there, but we don't look out for them. We don't wait for them. In the same way that when it comes to money, though, we do look out for them. We do look for opportunities where we can make a little bit more money. We do look for opportunities where we can buy something cheap and sell it for more expensive. We look for those opportunities. But do we ever sit down with the scholars and say, you know, when is the next blessed night coming? I've heard so much about Shab-e Barat, when is that coming? I've heard so much about Shab-e Miraj, when is that coming? I've heard so much about the month of Ramadan. How many months is it before the next month of Ramadan comes? What should I do during the month of Ramadan? What should I do during the last 10 days of Ramadan? How can I search for Laylatul Qadr? What ibadat can I do on Friday? What ibadat can I do in the last 10 days? Do we ever even ask these questions? And we don't. We don't, but when it comes to money, we'll phone up everybody. We'll go on the internet. We'll do all sorts of searches to find out how we can make a few extra pennies. But when it comes to good deeds, unfortunately, we don't run after them. We have this mindset that we'll run after money, but we won't run after good deeds. And if you look at the life of Sayyidina Ali Hazrat, there was an example where he was on his second Hajj. And again, viewers of my channel, that over 100 years ago, they didn't have the ease that we have nowadays. Nowadays, when people are traveling, they travel on, you know, AC coaches, trains, planes, and all sorts of things like that. In that time, that when Sayyidina Ali Hazrat, he completed the Hajj, he became ill. And he wanted to go to the city of Medina, to the city, to the Rose of Rasul, and send salam and salutations upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But because of illness, he was quite weak. You can imagine that when you are weak, traveling on a caravan in itself can take a lot of strength out of you. And the time was getting close where there was a possibility that if they carried on to the destination, they would miss Salatul Fajr. So Sayyidina Ali Hazrat Rahmatullah, he got off the camel. He let the caravan continue, but he made sure he read his namaz. He made sure he read his namaz, and the brothers there to perform Jamaat, and they read the namaz with peace and tranquility. He was weak. He was ill. You know, and now all of a sudden he's read his namaz, but he's got no mode of transport. But again, alhamdulillah, sent me a miracle that one of the people of the caravan, they sent back the camel for him, and he was able to make that journey. But again, there's an example of the views of Mishab that he prioritized his namaz. He prioritized his namaz rather than prioritizing his own self. He made sure he didn't miss his namaz, because he, in his mind, he said to himself that there was a great risk of us missing our namaz if we continue to make this journey. And nowadays, when we are traveling, ask yourself, how many namaz do we miss when we are traveling? What excuses do we have? That it's hard to perform wuzu, that it's hard to perform the namaz. Are them excuses any better than the excuse that Sayyidina Ali Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala could have made on that day? When it's possibly blazing heat, he's ill, he's weak, he's got no mode of transport. He's sitting on a camel, he could continue on that journey, but instead, no, he got off the camel and let the camel continue so that he could perform his namaz. Again, there is many, many lessons there for us to learn. And again, the character of Sayyidina Al-Hazrat, that he didn't want the praise upon him as well. He wasn't a person that wanted to be praised, he was a humble person. And that would reflect in all sorts of aspects in his life. That once people started to write, you know, Hafiz before his name, and he thought to himself that I'm not a Hafiz, but to dispel them, to make sure that they, you know, they're writing false about me, then I will become a Hafiz. And it is said that within a very, very short period of time, he became a Hafiz of the Quran. And again, this was one of his qualities, that he was able to learn knowledge of the deen so quickly. But again, he had this yearning for that. And, you know, we were talking in the past about his yearning for knowledge, but knowledge in itself, yearning for knowledge, that thirst for knowledge is ibadat in itself. And he would act upon that knowledge. He would live his life according to that knowledge. And nowadays, again, that's another lesson for us. We see it from our pious predecessors, that if they learn something, they act upon it. Nowadays, we've got a lot of people that are going around with all sorts of knowledge. Alhamdulillah, there are a lot of knowledgeable people around, because knowledge has become easy to obtain in comparison to the past. But with that knowledge, viewers of the channel, are we acting upon it? You know, the people of the past, because knowledge was hard to obtain, people would travel hundreds of miles, spend days traveling there to learn one hadith from a sheikh. They would travel many, many miles and many, many days just to learn something. Nowadays, and it's there in front of you. You can download books. I think I looked the other day that on my PC tablet that I have in front of me, more than 400 books are downloaded on there. It's so easy to download and so easy to acquire this knowledge. But because of that, we're not valuing that knowledge. Because of that, we're not acting upon that knowledge. And when it comes to ibadat, in the same way, viewers on the channel, we're not acting upon what we know. We know that namaz is farz upon us, but we're not acting upon that. We know the rewards in going to the masjid, but we're not acting upon that. We know all of these things, but we're not acting upon it. So I pray to Allah that we learn the knowledge of the deen, but not only learn it, we act upon it as well. And one bit of advice that I want to leave you with was the advice that Shahbaz Madani gave us. Slow down. And you know, that made me think, because I sometimes feel that I'm rushing. My life is, I feel that I'm running around too quickly. I need to slow down. I need to, when I perform my namaz, I need to slow down as much as possible and try and get the pleasure out of my namaz. In the same way, viewers of the channel, if we can all get the pleasure out of reading our namaz, the pleasure out of reading our Quran, the pleasure out of worshipping Allah, if we can develop that pleasure inside us, then inshallah we'll have that peace inside us, that tranquility inside us. So that whatever problems we are facing in this world that nowadays people are saying are so fast, we can face them problems head on, and inshallah we will cope with any problem when we have that peace and tranquility in our heart. Viewers of the channel, you've been watching yesterday, today and tomorrow, and I'm hoping again that we just scratch the surface. Yes, just scratch the surface of the yearning for worship and his embodiment of worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. And I hope that we can go away and learn something more. Keep watching Madri Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah. Awliya Allah.